So, hey, God, you blessed Wes and Tara. You blessed us with them, the Warners. You blessed us with tenacity and courage and strength and hope. You've shown us living resurrection in this family. What does it look like to set a stake in the ground or a flag in the ground and say, we will make a stand, come what may. And so thank you for them. Thank you that we get to be a part of that and we get to see it and that they also do that with us and for us. Thank you for the words that you've given them this morning. Just open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Hey, guys.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
So this is fun, a new dynamic
that
you guys haven't seen from us before.
Yeah, we're going to talk together, and so I'm going to hold this little mic here in between us. But first thing I want to do is just thank you guys for having us up here, because like everybody here, like so many people here are mentors to us or pastors or that's our marriage counsel over there, Brad, right there.
And our Andy pastor.
And we're here to talk about marriage today, you know, so he's going to be, you know, you can let me know if anything is like screwy up here, all right, later in the marriage counseling, right? And then we got other mentors here that have been, you know, walking with us for years, and we wouldn't be up here at all if it wasn't for the people in this community here. So look at Tim is here today. It's so awesome. I know. He's been a huge, huge man in our life always, you know. He stands above us all. It's amazing. So thank you for having us, guys. It's a huge, it's a pleasure to be up here talking about marriage, huh? Something that we love.
Yeah, it's also cool because I love being able to stand up here and be on the homiletics team. But I know that Wes has so much to offer, and he's gifted as a teacher. If you've ever seen him in the classroom, he's really, obviously, it's the profession he was made for. So it's neat to be in unison with him on this topic.
She loves me. It's amazing. It's great.
I have a big crush on this guy.
And I don't know he's already gone. I just want to make a request that when you're talking that you grab the mic or the mic.
Oh, we followed instructions.
He said it's got to be like this far away.
He said keep it in the middle.
Try my best to get in the way.
We're just trying to follow the sound expert. Rick is like the sound guy, you know? So hopefully it sounds good. I think it will. All right, so we're up here to talk about marriage, and I guess our first question is, why is that important? Why is marriage important? And our first belief about this is that marriage is the image of God. That is what He has designed for us. I know, isn't that amazing, right? Over there, someone's squirming in their seats, it looks like. Let's see. You want to read us?
Yeah, it says, then God said, so Genesis 1 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image, right? Man.
Mm-hmm.
In the image of God, he created him. And then it says, it doesn't just stop with the him, though. Then it says, he created them, male and female. Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
That's right. And it's interesting, because God could have created any situation. He could have created man with, like, 40 wives if he wanted to. Or he could have created two guys, or he could have created two girls, you know. He could have done anything. But his perfect image of marriage, what he wanted to choose to represent him and his love, was a man and a woman in the Garden of Eden. So that's the model that he honored above all as image. And we just want to bring that out right away, because that's where we're coming from with this. And I believe Satan is full on attacking marriage right now. I think you guys are fully aware of that. Our society can't agree on if a man can get pregnant and all that kind of stuff. All kinds of things are attacking marriage. There's the whole cohabitation thing. You guys know that's like, it used to be 10% of people would cohabitate before they get married. You know what it's at now? It's not 100%. It's like 64% cohabitate before they get married. Yeah, it's kind of like become normalized. It's kind of become normalized by the media. It's
movies, almost any show you watch, right? Oh, I went on this date and we slept together, right? It's just so casual. I remember like wanting to watch Friends a while back, and I like turned it on, and almost every single episode is about casual sex. And it just kind of broke my heart that that has been made okay. Mm-hmm. Because it's such a beautiful thing that God specifically designed to have fun with your spouse and make babies in your marriage.
Yeah, and sex, we could really unpack that really far. We're not going to...
Yeah.
We can save that for later.
But that's just one way that our society is tainting marriage.
That's true. That's true. Cohabitation, there's polygamy. That's kind of being normalized in a lot of ways, too. I've seen things online, people say... This is me and my two wives, and you know, or my two husbands, or something. It's just like a thing that's popping up. Again, that's a disruption of the image of God for marriage that He created in the Garden of Eden. There, pornography does this. Pornography is a corruption of His image. That's not His intention for us. Prostitution, the whole LGBTA thing, all that stuff going on. We're all aware of that kind of stuff disrupting the image of God, what He has created. And marriage can be disrupted within. Disrespect within a marriage, between a husband and a wife, can cause all kinds of problems to the image of God. Mm-hmm. A loss of passion. Marriages can become bored, dead inside, aimless. They can result in divorce. All of these are... fractures to the image of God that He has created, that He has demonstrated for us in the Garden of Eden. Whether or not people want to accept it, whether or not they want to create something else for themselves, it's already spelled out for us. God already put that in His scriptures. And Jesus reiterates this. You have that ready to go?
I do. Jesus says very clearly, have you not read that He, right, our Heavenly Father, who made them at the beginning, made them male and, come on guys, yeah, you guys read the Bible too, it's good. And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, Wes and I are no longer just individuals, but now we are one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Yes.
That's right. So we're not to change God's image for a marriage. His plan for marriage has already been set. Jesus has affirmed it. He's God. His word is final. That's just how it goes. That's what we believe. So Paul reiterates this, or whoever the writer of Hebrews is, in 13:4. He says, let marriage be held in honor by all, whether or not you're married, you're single, divorced, whatever. We're to hold marriage in honor. And that's where we're coming here. That's our heart in this. We want to hold up marriage in that way. We see marriage as the basis for family and culture. Literally everybody has a mother and a father. It doesn't matter if you're adopted by two dads or something. You still had a mother and a father that you were created from. It's just the standard for biology. What do you think, Tara, about the cultural norms and stuff? What did you want to say about that?
Family is the formation of culture. You have, we've read multiple studies on how up until 13, you have like more control over your kids than ever. And we are, for those first 13 years, forming culture around our kiddos. We are showing them what our values are. We're showing them what our standards are. The way that we interact with each other is showing them what it looks like to honor people in their lives. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people forget that that's like a big responsibility of marriage, is we're forming culture.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We've got the 100% influence on the children as soon as they're born. Parents do. And that diminishes the more they grow. The tipping point's right around 13, puberty. That's when the kids can start looking at other voices, other parents, and saying, hey, how come we don't do it that way? And maybe you're doing it wrong, mom and dad. And they get self-reflective, and they can be critical based on those outside voices. So we're not going to unpack all that today. We're just going to leave a lot of that on the table and maybe in a talk later. But I do want to make a point that marriage, why is marriage important? Because children that are born in marriage have, on average, they are more likely to thrive. And I got this from the Institute of Family Studies. It says that they are more likely to thrive because there's more commitment, less violence, and more stability. So this is interesting. Unmarried parents are more than twice as likely to break up. So if you got cohabitating parents, the statistics say it's twice as likely to end up in
separation
between your parents and you end up with a single parent. Children with married parents get higher grades. They have better in high school and college graduation rates. They have less incarceration, which is ending up in jail. And they have much lower rates of child poverty. It's quite amazing. If we just had the marriage statistics that we had in 1970, we would see significantly lower child poverty rates right now in America. If marriage had those kinds of, if we still had marriage at the 1970 levels, it's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. Yes. So marriage, why is marriage important? As another reason, right, Tara?
Yeah, so that's one of my all-time favorite reasons. I love the way that Ephesians 5 describes it. And it says that it is the mystery of Christ in the church revealed, which is so cool. So if you want to read with me, Ephesians 5:31-32, it says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church." And I just love that. I love that it doesn't really make sense that we're two people, right? You're a man. I am not. I'm a woman. And somehow we mysteriously become this unified person. And that we get to show off that glory to the outside world. And people can look at us and go, hey, that's what I should look like in my relationship with Jesus. The way Rick and Janet do it. The way Brad and Allie do it. The way, right, you can name any marriage in our community. And I'm sure you guys can all see something that you admire and you can take back to your own personal relationship with Christ.
Yeah, and this the thing I love about this too, Tara, is that the revelation of Christ and the church in marriage is not just a revelation for married people. The revelation of God's love of a husband for his wife, you know, Jesus for his bride, that is something that is for everybody, whether we're married, whether we're happily married or unhappily married, whether we're divorced, whether we're single, whether we're thinking about getting married, whether we have, whether we're kids, it doesn't matter. All of us want to be loved the same way that Jesus loves his bride. So the more we dive into marriage and explore marriage in this message here today, I want you to understand this is for everybody, not just for those people who happen to be married at this moment right now, all right? Mm-hmm. So I'm committed to this love. We all want to experience his maximum overflowing abundant love, and I'm committed to this maximum love, not only in my marriage, but in this community, and in this message right here. So what about you, Tara?
I'm committed to encouraging this love to flourish and to calling it forth. And I just want to amplify it in our lives.
Awesome. All right, can we pray for a moment? Because that was our introduction. All right, you guys ready? That was our introduction, okay? We're just introducing marriage, why it's important. So I hope you feel like this is an important topic to talk about. All right, can we pray? Mm-hmm. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for giving us your image of what it looks like to be human that you have spelled out for us in Genesis through the word of Jesus Christ, through the scriptures that have been passed down. Thank you for showing us historically how valuable marriage is and what a blessing it is, and for revealing your amazing love through marriage to all humanity. That you have the mystery in there to reveal that is of the love that you have for your own bride. So thank you for that, God. We want to treasure that and honor that marriage here. We want to honor that revelation here. We ask for open hearts. We ask for your love to be poured out here into every heart so that we can all overflow with your abundant, amazing, maximum love in this time. In Jesus' name.
Oh, and I just want to thank you, Lord, that you... you are the truth. You are the way. You're the one who we get our definitions from. Wes and I are not just making things up and getting it. Yeah, we're getting it through you, through your revelation, and through the scriptures that you've given us to just put our world into context, put marriage into context.
Yeah.
And we just praise you that you gave us these tools and resources.
Yeah. And if there's anything, God, that, you know, I pray that these words are a blessing to everybody's heart. And anything that they don't need, I pray that you just kind of erase that from their memory now. And so they only what you want will stand and grow in this church.
Yeah.
And be honored. God, we bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I'll grab it. Okay. So are you going to talk about that right now, Tara? So our next big question is, what does this love look like? What is the love? What is the revelation of love that's in marriage look like that God has intended to bless us all with, right? Whether we're married or not, right?
Yeah. And we've been going through the book of Romans with our family, which is fun. Amara, are you the one who picked that book? Yeah. She decided that when it's her day, she wanted to read a little bit of Romans every day, and the rest of the family has kind of picked up on it, and we're slowly just kind of chewing on these really cool words of Paul. Mm-hmm. And Wes and I got to Romans 5, and we were like, whoa, if we could figure this out as individuals, like, it would change us, it would change our family, it would change our marriage. So we wanted to share we just want to share this passage with you and go from there, guys. Mm-hmm. So you can read along. I am reading from the TPT, Romans 5, 1 through 11, or you could just sit and listen. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access to this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But guess what? That's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, right? We witnessed that when we were listening to Robin today. She and Tim have endured a lot, but they have been able to have that joy that sustains, that doesn't make sense. Has it made sense, Tim, to sometimes be joyful? Yeah, that's it. Always made sense.
He says that with a smile on his face.
Yeah, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character. Improving character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading like a waterfall into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Now, would anyone dare to die for the sake of a wicked person, right? That does not come naturally to us. We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. That makes more sense. But here's what Christ did. He proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place when we were still lost and ungodly. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. Mm. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, "You are now righteous in my sight." And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. So if while we were still enemies, God fully reconciled us to himself through the death of his son, then something greater than even friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God, and because we share in his resurrection life, how much more will we be rescued from sin's dominion? And even more than that, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of a living reconciled to God, all because of Jesus Christ. Yeah, amen. Romans 5, 1 through 11.
Yeah, we were reading this. I think we were reading this in the car, actually, for our morning devotionals. And the parts that stuck out to me, you might have different parts, but the parts that stuck out to me was where it said we had the cascading love of God overflowing into our hearts. Mm-hmm. I thought that was amazing because mm-hmm. he wants to pour this overflowing love. And it's not just the people that earn it. It's two people that just accept him as their Savior. Like, he wants to pour this love into our hearts just for saying yes to him. Mm. And it says it's not a disappointing fantasy. It's not like we're making this stuff up. This is real. This endless love is going to cascade into us through the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I also like the part at the bottom where it says, even more, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship. Overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of living reconciled to God. Overflowing with triumphant joy. I mean, that is an incredible image to think about. Mm-hmm. Overflowing with triumphant joy?
Yeah, it's good.
I think it's amazing. It's incredible.
For me, the part that really stood out to me was you didn't have to do anything. And that was huge. I like where it says, nobody's willing to die for a wicked person. And we all can understand wanting to die for a truly noble person. But Jesus instead came down when we were still sinners and took our place and died for us. That was amazing. Like that, I could just hear that every day. And it would feed my heart, you know? It's so good. But it reminds me of when our kids get up in the morning.
Yeah.
You know? They come into our bedroom probably almost every day for a hug. And we don't stop them and go, oh, Corbin, stop what you're doing right there. Please tell us John 3:16. Prove to us that you are memorizing your scriptures. Have you read Genesis 1 today? You know, we don't make him earn a spot in between us.
Do you spend an hour in prayer, Corbin? You don't get any hugs until you do that.
Yeah.
Did you do your math? How about 10 push-ups?
Yeah.
I don't think you're doing all you can do, Corbin.
Yeah, we're not stopping our kiddos and making them earn a hug from us.
Yeah. In the same way, we don't have to prove ourselves to God before he wraps his arms of love around us and pours his cascading love into our hearts. He just does that. He says, I'm your daddy. Just come to me anytime you want a hug. Anytime you want that triumphant joy to come from inside of you, pouring out, just come to me. You don't have to prove yourself or earn it. Just come to me, and I'm going to give you that big hug.
Yeah.
That's what Daddy says.
There was a while, though, in our marriage that I felt that I was operating with Wes in a way where I had to earn his love. Mm-hmm. And I felt like if the house was clean and the children were well-behaved and well-groomed and everything was just right, then Wes could give love to me. And I was really confused with why our marriage was operating that way. And it took revelation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For you to realize that that wasn't how you wanted our marriage to operate.
Yeah. I owe that to this community because, like, your love for me has helped me out a lot. I know Brad's counseling, so walking with me. And then we went to that Awaken conference. That had a big impact on me, too. Basically, Tara would tell me a lot in our marriage that she didn't feel my love. She would say, Wes, I don't feel like you're cherishing me. I don't feel like that I'm feeling your love for me. And there was something there blocking that love. And I would say, Tara, come on. Don't you feel my love? Like, I work hard every day. We do these Bible studies in the morning. You know, I take you on dates every week. Like, don't you feel the love? You know, this is love. I love you. I listen to you. I care about you. And still she would say she didn't feel the love. And I'm like, what? Why not? There's something wrong with you. It's not me. You know, I'd argue with her, you know, something wrong with her. So
Brad could probably tell you all the hours of that same argument going down for years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I thought I had a point. You know, I really did. But there was something else going on there. It turns out I had to spend some time kind of looking at my own heart. And there were places in my own life where I was kind of, like, I had memories of my childhood, but I didn't really want to explore them that much. Mm-hmm. Like, ideas, I didn't really want to get into those emotions of it. I had to kind of slow down, look at those memories, experience the feelings, and then kind of journal it, write it out, and get into those emotions and feelings. And I realized I actually had wounds that I still hadn't, like, forgiven things that happened in my past, like, you know, just regular parents. Like, when you're parenting your kids, like, you're just doing regular parenting, right? You're going to wound your kids. It's normal. It happens to us all. And I still have wounds from my own childhood that, you know, not, like, intentional on my parents. Or I don't know. You know, I don't. It's not even for me to judge. What I experienced, though, I still hadn't processed. And I had to sit in those and just, you know how much forgiveness God has for us? It's unlimited. He forgives everything. So I had to receive that forgiveness and just flow that right out to every situation, every one of those acts of injury or woundedness in my own heart. And as I did that, the bitterness just kind of disappeared. And that removing that bitterness kind of like removed the blind spot so I could see how arrogant I was. I could see that I was withholding myself, withholding my love. And that changed me. That changed me. It was like the confession of it. The confession of how arrogant I was. The confession of this bitterness. Talking about it in a community. Having fellowship in the community is where I experienced healing.
And that was at the community of Awaken.
It was a community of Awaken, but it's also in this community. It's also like I was walking with Bronson just last week and confiding in him. And I'm feeling healing just from confiding in him. You know, just things come up all the time. There's always things in our hearts that if we can say it to God, God, I have this sin, this problem. He forgives us, right? Mm-hmm. But it says in the scriptures that healing comes when you confess it to
one another,
the right people in your life. When you confess mm-hmm. it to the right people, your elders, your pastors, your best friends, people you can trust. That's where the healing comes, mm-hmm. and I experienced that. And I wasn't open to community back then in the same way. So I didn't experience that kind of healing right away. Yeah. But now, Terry, it feels different to you?
It felt like I was getting a trickle from you before. And like the hose was bent. And then it felt like as soon as you received the love of God, it's just something was different about you. And it was like the hose was unkinked and I could get that full flow. Just coming out of you. It was really beautiful.
That's awesome.
And then it was beautiful the way it impacted our kids, too. We didn't realize how that, you know, we thought, it's amazing, guys. Like, if you're married with kids, sometimes you think it's just between you and your spouse. But it turns out that your kids are really receiving what you're putting into each other. And there's a huge shift in our whole family. When that took place, it was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what does the revelation of the maximum love look like? Well, first of all, it's receiving that maximum love, the overflowing, abundant love that Romans 5 talks about. That's for everybody, the triumph and joy, the cascading love that God pours into our hearts because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, we want to talk about what it looks like in our marriage. We talked about that a little bit. But Bronson had the idea that we look at the vows, right? Isn't that interesting? So in marriage, what is the marriage vow? Do you guys know what that is? Anybody recite it? Married couples? Anybody?
Well, we can do it for
don't
you
worry,
today.
We got it. We got it right here. It's all right. It's all right. All right. So we'll remind you of it here. So the marriage vow looks. It goes like this. It says, do you want to do it? We'll do it together.
Yeah,
ready?
Well, I thought we were going to, you do a little bit and I'll do a little bit.
All right. So in the name of God, I, Wes.
In the name of God, I, Tara.
Take you, Tara.
Take you, Wes.
All right. To be my wife.
I take you to be my husband.
All right. Awesome.
Have and to hold.
From this day forward.
For better or for worse.
For richer or for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
Until parted by death.
Uh-huh. All right.
This is my
solemn
vow.
All right, there you go. Now you guys got it. So
no
rocket science there. It's basically we're going to be together through all the ups and downs.
Yeah.
We're going to be together. Right? We're just not going to leave no matter how hard it gets. That's the vow that we made for each other. Like it says, to leave and cleave. You cleave, right? You leave your parents, you cleave. You stick together with somebody else, with your spouse, and come what may.
And it's hard to be married to each other sometimes. We've really wronged each other. And we choose to stick it out because we've made that commitment. Mm-hmm. And we want to keep our word.
Yeah, and because the love of God is big enough to heal and to forgive anything. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So Tara, what does it look like when I love you?
So it's funny. He listed some things already where he would love me, but I was like, I didn't really feel his love. But it feels different now that he's really receiving the love of God. So he goes to work, and he goes to work well and full of integrity. And I know that he's going to keep his word. He will make sure the gas tank gets filled up for me, or he'll say, do you need something? I'm out, and I'll stop at the market. And then he also will surprise me and come back with something I'd like. Maybe it's a bar of chocolate, or maybe it's flowers. Just little ways that say, hey, like, you're on my mind and I care about you. But it's also just the day in and day out. I know that when he's going on a date with our kids, he's going to really dig into their heart and fill in, you know, places that maybe I can't fill in because he's their dad. And that makes me feel loved, just knowing that we're in this together and we're living life as best as we can. Mm-hmm. How about you? What does it look like when I love you well?
Yeah, Tara really loves me really well. So for you, I think the a lot of things I love is how you take care of me. You're always like giving attention to me and kissing me and taking care of the house. And you always want to be with me and do things with me. Like, we want to go to the movies and hang out and go to dinner. I love doing things like that with you. I love that you want to be my friend and be there with me. And I love how you take care of the children and watch out for them. You homeschool them. You're always thinking of me. Like you said, I get you a piece of chocolate. I think you do that for me way more. You're always thinking of me and getting me like a drink of coffee or something. Or she's always doing stuff like that. So all those things matter to me. But really, it's your companionship. It's you being with me that really matters the most to me. I love that I just know I'm going to wake up and you're going to be right there by my side.
Mm,
you know,
that's good.
It's
I like
so
that
special.
Too.
Yeah, I love that. So what does love look like? It's not like rocket science or something. It's not esoteric. It's just the everyday real life stuff that we do to care for each other as a consequence of this vow that we made.
Yeah.
You know? That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. Or I also like, we looked at Philippians 2 this week when we were at Forest Home, and it's not looking at the interests of yourself, but looking to the interests of someone else, you know?
Yeah.
And really just remembering that I'm in this life with you. And it's not all about me, but it's about us.
Yeah. And
it's cool.
There's something about the joy, too. Like, I enjoy being with you.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like just looking at you makes me smile. And I like looking at you. I just want to keep looking at you. You know, you're made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm drawn to.
Yeah.
I just want to love you because you look like the image of God.
Yeah.
And if you make a mistake, if you got something, if you do something, you know, that was like, oh, you shouldn't have done, hurts my feelings, right? We can share that. We can share that. When I hurt your feelings, I can share that feeling with you. And we can grow in our marriage, in our love, even when we make mistakes.
Yeah.
Because we can share those feelings. I don't feel like I have to get defensive and be like, it was your thing. You did it. It wasn't my fault. So that's another way love looks like to me.
And I think that actually leads into our next point, which is one of the major things that can stop you from receiving this love that then you can outpour to your spouse, or if you're single, you're outpouring to God, is bitterness. Bitterness is poison. It is toxic. It destroys lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty profound. Mm-hmm. I have used my own bitterness in our marriage, and I tend to be a sabotager and vengeful, and instead of saying, hey Wes, I'm hurt, I've let hurts fester inside of me, and then I'll hurt him back that he doesn't even know I'm doing it back to him because I didn't address the original hurt, and I just want him to feel pain with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really horrible, and I'm sorry that you've had to experience that from me.
Yeah, we've already forgiven for that. So, you know, it's cool,
but
though. Appreciate it. I love it.
You know, like, even just telling you guys
you
how I've wronged my husband,
you.
I'm sorry that, you know, I'm sorry in our community that I've wronged my husband in that way.
Yeah, we love you, honey. It's all right.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I love that, though. I love that we're free because of the love of God, because of the love he's poured out into us. We're free. We can say that.
Yeah.
We can say, hey, I messed up. It's my fault.
Yeah.
And we're loved.
Yeah.
We're loved because of that great love that God has poured out into our hearts. That
yeah.
that makes the ultimate vision, this image of God, complete. It makes it happen. It's amazing. So I don't know. I mentioned earlier that I would withhold from Tara. I would withhold love from her. I was arrogant. I mean, all these different things about me that kind of deformed my personality and changed the image of God as He intended it to be. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you have a residual bitterness from your upbringing in your life. Maybe there's something like that in you. Maybe it's from events that have taken place in your life recently. Maybe it's something that you don't want to think about, like me. Maybe it's something like that. I don't know. For me to work through that stuff, it took probing questions. I had to be around honest people who are willing to ask me tough questions. I had to get feedback from them. I had to be honest and journal, explore it, think about it, pray through it. I had to be willing to repent, to allow my life to change. And I had to receive that love in order to get healing in those places. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it? What do you think, Tara? Is it worth it?
Yeah.
I think so, too. Totally worth it. You know, it's amazing.
Definitely worth it. I feel like since Wes has gone on this journey, that we're new. Like, I feel like I'm redoing our first year of marriage or something. It feels really cool.
Yeah. Feels good to me, too. And, I love being married to you.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like, it's released in me the ability to fall even more in love with you through you just saying, hey, I was bitter. Isn't that so weird? Confession is so powerful.
And so it's so simple when you look back on it. You're like, that's all I had to do. You know what I mean? I just had to like face those feelings, those emotions and talk about them and share about them. You know, but the community aspect of it is so important. And you got to be around people too that are willing to like look at you and say, hey, you know, you look like you're happy, but I know it's just a mask. You're really unhappy inside. You really are dealing with that crap underneath. You got to get real with yourself. You really got to get in there with people that are like that, are willing to call you out on that. Yeah. If you're just around the people that are going to skim over and say, hey, you look great today, you're not going to get the healing that you're looking for.
Yeah.
So the community that you're with really, really matters in my opinion.
I have a story to share that we didn't go over.
Yeah.
I had a friend recently. She was going through a marriage counseling thing. She called me up and she said, part of our homework is we have to ask a close friend if how they see us as a spouse, and what does it look like from the outside for me to be married? And it was really cool because I got to speak into her life and say, you know, here's what I see you do well, and here's what I see you do not so well. And that was part of the assignment. She wanted that feedback. And then I said, okay, would you give me feedback too? And we got to speak honestly with each other. And in that honesty, I felt not only affirmed as a wife, but I felt, you know, the iron sharpens iron. I felt chiseled at the same time to refine myself to be sharper for you. And it was really powerful. And I can't recommend that more.
We all need that.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to our last question, which is, what do we do about this? What do we do about it? So this is the same for married couples, for people that are unmarried. No matter where you are in life, it's pretty much the same. We got the same questions here. Are you experiencing the maximum overflowing, abundant, triumphant joy, this love that God has poured into our hearts, cascaded into our hearts through Jesus Christ? Are you experiencing that?
And I would add on, are you reminding yourself of the gospel? We heard a great speaker once at Forest Home years ago say, it is necessary for our souls and for our well-being as Christians to repeatedly tell ourselves the gospel. That is the beauty of the New Testament.
Yeah, you know? That's all we're talking about today. This is the simple gospel truth.
Yeah.
You know, we're forgiven for our sins. We can confess them. You know, and
like,
we can be real with ourselves and real with the emotions, real with the experiences. How are we doing, Bronson? Bronson helped me out on this a lot with this.
Yeah.
This,
yeah. And just a reminder, like, we all suck. I was, while we were singing today, while we were singing that song today, the full attention, may your voice be louder, right? Like, I also was thinking of the hymn, Come Thou Fount. And it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And we heard this week in marriage, it's natural. We're not made to drift together, you guys. We're humans. Humans drift away,
yeah.
Right? That mm-hmm. same idea, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Mm-hmm. Prone to leave the God I love. So that's why it's powerful to sing these other words that say, like, keep me rooted. I want to be abiding. I want to be, like, deep in you. And I'd also say that not only do we need to be reading the scriptures and reading the gospel, but we need to be reminding our friends of that too. You know, we need to say like, hey, I know that you feel like you suck, but remember, like, you were still a sinner and Christ came and died for you. Do you need to just remember that for a minute? Can I remember that with you? And there's power in that. There's power in us reminding each other of our stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you guys can look at friends and testify of God's goodness in their life. And we need that. We need a terror encourager mm-hmm. to remind you, you know?
I do.
And I love being that for my friends. I love reminding them of how good God has been in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that too. Thank you. Yeah, so we're going to close this out here. But the question is, what do we do about it? What do we do about the revelation of love that God reveals in marriage? What do we do about this? What do we do about his desire for us to be not only that if we are married, but also to receive that revelation of love if we're not married, right? We're single. What does that mean? So here's a couple questions to think about. Are you experiencing the maximum, overflowing, abundant love of God, the one that in Romans 5, Paul says, this is not a fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's not a fantasy. It's a real love that God has to pour out in us.
Mm-hmm.
Are you experiencing that, and are you loving in that reception? Are you loving to the maximum?
Mm.
Is that you? Is there something holding you back from that?
Do you have a kink in your hose?
Can you be honest and explore that and get feedback from others in your community? Can you talk to the right people and see? Get feedback. Hey, Kenny, do you feel like I love you? Are you feeling that when I'm with you? You know? And maybe he's like, no, Wes, I think you look like, I don't know why you're sitting up here talking so long. You know? Just like close the book and hurry up. I got to get to my lunch or something. You know? I don't know. Get the feedback from the people that you value, that you look up to. Get honest feedback.
And it's scary. I wanna put it out there that it's sometimes hard to receive the feedback, but it's so vital.
Mm-hmm.
And I also we've already plugged him a lot, but our pastor Brad has a huge gift for counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Our marriage is different because of his voice in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so grateful for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We love you, Brad. All right, so to close this out, I want you guys to think about those questions. Remember, we have this community around us because we're the bride of Christ. God has put us here so that we can love each other. That's what we're mm-hmm. here for. You know, the love is already here. We don't have to be scared. We can take ourselves to each other, to the Lord. We can get forgiveness from the Lord. We can get healing by you know, expanding, like reaching out in community.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to remember this. Did you want to read that part of it, Tara, or do you want to read the end? I'll read this part.
We're going to read the end together.
Together? Awesome.
Yeah.
So I want you to remember this, guys. The theme that we're in right now is yes and amen. I want you to remember that no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Through him, we can speak the amen back to him, which is the glory of God. All of his promises are yes to us. So he has promised his people that even when they have, I mean, we got amazing people here. I'm not saying, I mean, there's all different situations we have in life. But even if we're in that worst place, if we're like playing the role of the prostitute, the opposite of faithfulness, he has promised he will fulfill maximum love in you. I mean, this is a cool promise from Hosea. Didn't you remind me of this, Bronson?
Yeah.
So good.
Because you're in community.
I'm in community with them. Now we were talking about this last night.
Yeah.
So what is that promise, Tara? Do you want to read that?
Yeah, let's read it together.
Okay.
So I will
betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice,
in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord.
And that promise from God is yes and amen.